You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back with my favorite economist, probably because he talks faster than I do. Welcome back, Casey Conway, the man, the myth, and the legend at the Culver House School of Business up at the University of Alabama.
Hey, thanks, Jim. You know, you always have your pulse on the right thing. So I'll tell you, you were so spot on about Toyotas. I bought three of them in the last 5 years for my daughters and myself. Nothing goes wrong. They run forever. Nothing rattles. They're incredible. So you're going to love your Toyota. Number two, thank God that there's reasonable capital that will step in right now. Let me give you a metric to support what's going on and what you're looking at trying to do on the housing side. Most people may not realize that all they hear is that we failed a record low rates of home ownership down in the 62% range by 2016. Very few realize that in the fourth quarter of last year, we saw the trend of home ownership decline reverse, and we ended up over 64% home ownership rate in the fourth quarter last year. So those that are wondering when the millennials will buy, they're buying now, and they're not just buying in the city, they're buying in the suburbs as well. So thank God that you're there when the banks will make the loans. We appreciate you having a capital source that will. I'll tell you, I have an index I brought back to life when I was the chief economist at Colliers. It was called the Bulls, Bears, and Bewildered Index. And so as the year progressed through, I classified every economic report as, you know, bullish, bearish, you know, bad, or hell, it just didn't make sense, like most of the stuff that comes out of the Fed FOMC meetings, right? Mm-hmm. And so I brought that back, and we've got it just as the Bulls and Bears Index. And so far this year, we've had 31 major economic index metrics released, government and private, like ADP, job, private payrolls, BLS, GDP, you name it. And of those, 19 are bullish and favorable on the economy, and only 12 have been somewhat bearish. So we're running almost a 2-to-1 ratio in terms of the first month of the year of the metrics. So we'll share that. You can post that, Jim. It's Casey and the Acre, Alabama Center for Real Estate's Bulls and Bears Index that you can track through the year. My number of the week last week was the increase in the home ownership rate to 64%. That's the good news. Let me share something that we should be paying attention to on the commercial real estate side, because this was the canary in the coal mine that hit in 2010. So my buddies and my friends at TREP, T-R-E-P-P, that track everything in securitization and permanent lending land, they publish and track a loan payoff ratio. And normally that ratio, when these 10-year loans come due, they pay off at a pretty high ratio, 85-90% payoff within the 90 to 100 days that they come due, 60% payoff, or more payoff immediately. But in January, that loan payoff ratio dropped to a shocking 25%.
Hold it. What does that mean?
It means only one in four loans could pay off the loan when it came due. So what the heck's going on? But when we took the data apart, and the TREP folks did, they found that most of it was large loans on regional shopping malls, big hotels, big office building deals. And this is consistent with what's going on in the market. If you have a big loan, you probably have an interest-only deal. It's, without guarantees, non-recourse, right? And so if you think the rates are going up and you're a lender or a Wall Street fund that's buying these bonds and these securitized loans, do you want to make a big dollar investment in a big property asset or a $100 million deal or a $1 billion single asset deal if you think the interest rates are going to move another 100 or 200 basis points against you? Absolutely not. That's exactly what happened in 2010. And so this loan payoff ratio dropping to just 25% in the CMBS land in January is a warning sign about what we're seeing in the market. And what it's saying is large loans are right now starting to have trouble refinancing and paying off. The small loans are good, and we'll see community banks step in. We'll see credit unions and people like yourself. But this is a warning sign. This is what locked up liquidity in 2009 and 10. When large loans couldn't pay off and we saw securitization shut down. So my downer piece is we should be paying attention to the loan payoff ratio that's occurring in commercial real estate. It's a canary in the coal mine. We better understand what's going on.
Well, does the new Fed chairman, Chairman Powell, know what's going on? And if so, what could he do? And if not, I guess we got to kind of duck.
Yeah, so I'm real encouraged. I like you know, Janet Yellen, I think she did a good job for her time. And Bernanke, I give him a lot of credit being kind of the architect to, you know, design things that we needed that had never been designed before, like TARP and TALF and everything else. Here's what I like about new chair Powell. So number one, he's the first time we have a chair of the Federal Reserve that's not an egghead economist in four decades. He's actually comes from industry. He's a former investment banker, has experience at Treasury. He understands how things work. He understands, you know, non-government data. So I like the fact we have a non-economist that's rooted in industry experience at the helm at the Fed. So he gets things very, very quickly. I was up in D.C. early part of this week. I do a quarterly session for the bank examiners and kind of what's going on in the real estate markets and appraisal conditions and whatnot. And they were asking lots of good questions. So he was hot on the job Monday and asking all the right questions and his board staff people. So I think he's going to be right guy at the helm for what we've got right now. A good industry guy that's not just another economist that doesn't understand how things work in industry.
We've got just a few minutes left, Casey, and I kind of wanted to talk about you know, what tools they're going to use. What can we look for in the future here with the rising interest rates? You know, maybe a little bit of a tick on what you think might happen in inflation. What about the yield curve, the impact of the yield curve, which is a little bit esoteric for us to talk about on the radio. But, you know, just in general, we've only got a couple minutes left. What can people really put? Well, here's a great question. Should people stay in cash? Should they jump into the stock market? Is it a buying opportunity? What do you recommend for just the average Joe?
So good question. So I think the interest rates are going to rise. The steepening in the yield curve, which means your long-term interest rates are higher than your short-term interest rates, are going to stay that and move up because people are seeing that long-term rates are going up. So my forecast is we'll see a 3% 10-year treasury here by the spring. So we're at 2.85 today. We were at 2% just back around Halloween time. That's a pretty big jump. And I think that by this time next year, we'll be talking about a 4% 10-year treasury. But remember, 2006, we got all the way to a 5% 10-year treasury, 16 rate hikes, and the economy worked fine in 2003 and 2004. So this is normalizing where we should be. A steep yield curve is a healthy thing because longer-term money means longer-term risks that you have out there. We don't want it to invert. That's the bad news, which means long-term rates are cheaper than short-term rates. So I think that we're going to see rates continue to rise. My concern is that Janet Yellen may be set new chair Powell up. So when she didn't raise rates last week at the January FOMC meeting, people forget there's not an FOMC meeting with the Fed in February. So it'll be March before they meet, and it'll be his first one to chair. And we'll have two more months of economic data, and I think it's going to be hot. I think it's going to show job growth continuing. I think it's going to show unemployment rate drop below 4%. And I think Chairman Powell may have to seriously consider a half point or 50 basis point increase in March rather than a 25 basis point increase. And I think that shocks the market, but they better start thinking about it. So one piece of advice I'll give the commercial real estate folks, we need to dust off our old tools on how we deal with rising interest rates. And one of them is a technique called the band of investment. Probably Jim, you and I are probably the only two old enough to remember it, that it was taught. And so it's basically you blend how much my debt costs are with my equity costs, and you develop a cap rate from the cost of capital. And what it's telling us is that cap rates need to move up, which means the value goes down. They need to probably move up 1 to 150 basis points in the next year to 18 months. So if you're buying a deal today and you're not anticipating that the income can increase to offset that rising cap rate, the value of your property is going to be worth less. And I think that's why we're seeing disruption in the market. Everybody's trying to figure out how to do it. The typical appraisers lag the market. They don't have comps looking in the rearview mirror. None of them know how to do a band of investment. So for those that are smart out there, you know, give Jim a call and we'll do a special. We'll put a thing on your website to show them how to do band of investment so that they don't go underwater on real estate.
Well, I think we're going to add that. You're going to send me that. We'll make that tool. We're also going to, I think, have your bulls and bears thing up on our website. That's just great stuff, man. And, you know, Casey, so I guess band of investment is our takeaway, that people need to know that interest rates are going up. When the interest rate goes up, that will bring the cap rate with it, because the cap rate's a combination of the interest rate that you got to pay, the cost of capital, plus your required return. I guess that's sort of the band of investment definition. See? No?
Yep. It shows you what's going to happen before the appraiser and the transactions make the adjustments a year later. and tells you what you need to anticipate. So study what's happening with those leases and the income and the property, and make sure that you've got your abilities to either increase them or cut costs to increase your NOI to offset a higher cap rate. The other two takeaways I would say, Jim, are celebrate that we are in a really good cycle for housing. We're only building about 1.1 million units, unlike 1.7 million back in 2006. We have shortages of inventory. Home prices continue to rise about 6%. We have home ownership rising. We have millennials getting employed and buying in both the cities and the suburbs. So the housing story is intact. The fundamentals are good. And the fundamentals of this economy are solid. We just all have to figure out how we continue to do business in a rising interest rate environment instead of a free interest rate environment.
Casey, you're the best. Go back to your speech. I really appreciate you coming here and being on the show with us. We'll look forward to having you again real soon. Casey Conway, the head economist up at
Culver House College of Business at the University of Alabama, and the chief economist for the CCIM. The best guys that do the best training for commercial real estate brokers and folks.
High five to you, Casey. Looking forward to having you on the show again soon. Be well. Wanda, take it away. We'll be back with an update on what's happening this year at the ballpark with the Marlins. Wanda and I go every year. It's one of our things. We're going to take the whole crew here this year. It's going to be fun. I met Derek Jeter. He's really cool, really nice. So, Wanda, take it away. We'll talk baseball after the break. Oh,